Welcome back to the Empowered Homeowner. And can I tell you how excited I am today to sit down with my next guest? My next guest is not only a neighbor and a friend, she is a really strong and resilient woman. And I can't wait to tell her story. So, Jerry, come scooch closer to me because I want everybody to hear about your story, and we want to talk about Harry. So let me first off by saying that Jerry is my neighbor of 27 years, and it has been a pleasure to be neighbors with her. And it was in August of 2020 that she lost her husband. So tell us about Harry, because he is the foundation of our conversation. So
that's a great segue, the foundation of our conversation, because he was a pillar, a rock, a personality to reckon with. He would walk into a room and the room would light up.
Yeah.
One of nine. He was the what his father used to call the number one son. And he carried that well.
Yeah, he did.
He was very loving, strong in his faith, his Catholic faith, which brought him a lot of strength to endure the last part of his life.
Yeah.
So, but he lived his life to the fullest.
Oh,
I mean, we could be here for days, Beth, as you know.
Absolutely.
Talking about Harry.
Harry was one of those people that did, he just truly lit up a room, and he was so funny. So it was really, Harry's loss didn't just hit the Dougherty family, but it hit an entire neighborhood. And you have to understand that when Harry got sick, he had a rare neuroendocrine cancer. And when Harry got sick, the whole neighborhood was on this journey with your family. And, you know, it was incredible to watch the community. So Jerry and I have been talking about, we've been arguing over whether it's six P's or seven P's, but we're talking right. about the P's of planning. So it's the proper prior planning prevents piss poor performance. And she shared about how Harry began to prepare her for his loss. And how insightful that is. So tell us some of the things that you started to prepare for so that you were able to handle the inevitable that was happening.
So in July of 2020, it was July 17th, actually. Just let me give you the background of the suddenness of what was going to transpire for the next 6 weeks. We have a home in Ocean City, New Jersey, and he was already at the shore, and I went down to spend the weekend, and when I came, I had my suitcase, I had the cooler of food, and I went upstairs, and I said, hey, Harry, I have some stuff I need you to help me, and we're on the second floor, and he came down dutifully, as he always did, and he got my luggage and all my bags, and he climbed the second floor, and then came in the dining room, and had to sit down. And this guy was a guy that never took a medication in his life. But for, I think everybody's on a statin these days. That was the only med he took.
Yeah, he was an active, vibrant guy.
Right, at 69. And so I said, what's going on? He goes, you know, I've been short of breath. And it was COVID. So I was like, oh, maybe you have COVID. So he said, I already have a call into the cardiologist, family doctor. Fast forward, he gets the COVID test, which is negative. They do other blood work, and his liver enzymes are off the charts. And then the diagnosis of this rare high-grade neuroendocrine cancer tumor is made within 2 weeks. And that was tough because COVID was hard to get a CAT scan because he wasn't a priority.
Right. So you were at this obstacle to even come up with a diagnosis for him. When you did have that diagnosis, how did your family prepare? How did Harry help you prepare?
Well, so, I mean, we didn't know it was terminal at that point. I mean, we thought we're going to go to the best doctors. Mm-hmm. We get in to see Penn. the top notch. And basically, they told Harry when we were in the doctor's office, they said, we really need to talk to you about palliative care. And that was a shock. It was like physically putting a knife in somebody's stomach and then just twisting it around where every step of bad news after that, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah. And no it all way. Happened so fast.
Yeah. Weeks.
Yeah.
We had weeks. So basically, we had then palliative care come out and they talked to him about, you know, well, what happens if you stop breathing?
Right. So,
which is a difference between palliative and hospice.
Right. You moved from palliative care to hospice very quickly.
Right. Well, we didn't even stay with a palliative because I was in the living room and the nurse was interviewing Harry and I was behind Harry and he says, oh, well, you're going to resuscitate me. I was like,
and as a nurse, you're going, no, that might not be the right thing to do.
No, and I mean, literally, I know we're on the radio, but I'm like to the nurse with my hand, like to my neck, like no, we're not
right because you knew what was.
Well,
coming.
And I think he knew, but on a mental level, was he ready to accept that?
No, he wasn't ready to give up. You know?
Yeah, I mean, this was just weeks into like, hey, you're a vibrant guy, a mummer. Was on the
oh,
TV,
yeah. He was
radio.
A mummer and, oh, yeah. He's done it all.
Did it
so,
all.
So tell me, what actions did Harry want you to take in terms of preparing for his funeral?
So what happened was, and it wasn't really Harry asking me. It was me. I asked him. He worked for a funeral home just as a part-time because he always looked like $1 million when he would dress up. He either looked like a bum.
He was in his plaid with a paintbrush. Or he was always, you know, he was well-dressed.
And very a big personality. So he knew these guys at Huff and Lakier, the funeral director or the funeral home up in Lansdale. And they asked him, hey, would you ever want a part-time job? Well, that's what he did when he retired. So I asked Harry once we knew this was terminal and he wasn't going to be with us for a long time at all. I said, there's a gift you could give me, Harry. And he said, what's that? And I said, I really need you to help me plan your funeral if you could do that. Yeah. I mean, that would be a gift that I could never, I could just...
And
love
what
to have.
What forethought that you had to know that that was something that was going to make your experience easier, because it's not just the funeral. Then it's, you know, all the other things that you're going to have to take on by yourself,
right? Like what were his wishes though? I mean, I really wanted to make sure that he had a part in his end of his life celebration,
right.
And it was a gift. It was a huge relief for me from a stress level. We had living wills and all of that, but to get down to the granular of exactly what do you want? And, I mean, he talked to me about, you know, do you want to be cremated or do you want a casket? And the casket actually was what he ended up having because he has, he was one of nine and... seven boys, but one had died already, Frank. So he had several brothers that he wanted as pallbearers, right. His son, my brother. Right. So he actually called everyone with my help.
Right, right.
And that was closure for other people.
Absolutely.
In his life.
Yeah, to know he had them at the last moments, you know. Kind
right.
Of felt. Tell me a little bit how the community helped you prepare for this? Like, how did our neighborhood step up and help you?
So, well, you, of course, Beth, came to with the idea, and this was when Harry was still looking for hope at Penn.
Right.
And he was going to this specialist at Penn. I think think it was August 10th was the exact date because I remember because that's my mom's birthday. And we were like, oh, this is a good sign.
Right.
And then you had come up with the idea, or whether it was you or Matthew, your son who's the videographer, well, let's do a High Hopes for Harry happy hour.
Yeah, that was an incredible moment. And not to give myself credit, but our neighborhood organized a drive-by kind of thing where all of the neighbors came out and had messages for Harry and my son. We would drive by with the video camera and record the messages so that we could share them with Harry. And that turned into people drawing messages in the driveway and my son doing a drone shot. And we were able to present Harry with this video of messages from all of the people in the community that loved him. And we ended up getting it on the NBC 10 News. So Harry could even see it on the news.
Right. It was incredible. And things work out. I think everything happens for reasons. And he was really ill at that point. It was a Thursday or Friday that we did the High Hopes for Happy Hour. And he did not feel well at all. He was really sick at this point. He had lost a lot of weight. And I had invited everyone to come. And his best friend, Michael, had arrived a little earlier. And I said, Michael, I don't think he's going to make it out there. And then Harry said, you know, hey, can somebody help me? He wanted to go to the bathroom. So we got him in the wheelchair. And we took him in the powder room. And the garage door is right there to get outside.
Yep. And we got him outside, and he was the life of the party.
He was the life of the party.
It was
Everybody
awesome.
Was in their mummer's hat. I mean, it was COVID. Everybody
right.
had masks.
Right. So we had masks, but we were in mummers and eagles and Phillies and just.
It was crazy.
You know,
that video is shown like all the time to
to the family.
Or, yeah, people that want to move into our neighborhood. That's
yeah.
one of the
this
things
is the community.
That
yeah.
This is.
You know, you were really blessed that Harry was able to help prepare you, you know, for that moment and for those next stages. Looking back as a couple, you know, you've had a lot to take on by yourself. You know, you have two properties. You've had to dive back into handling all of this on your own because Harry was the one who took care of the house and you were out, you know, still working. So Harry had taken on those responsibilities. What did you find most challenging as a homeowner after Harry had passed?
Well, the one thing, I mean, Beth, you and I talk about this all the time, is I wish I had more of a roadmap from him that told me the ins and outs of the house. Like, for instance, we have a sump pump and we have a generator. And if it wasn't for you next door with running your electric cord over, my basement would probably be flooded. And the reason I say about I wish I knew more about the sump pump was he actually had it like under the rug, the carpet.
I don't know. I'll never forget that night. Oh. It was during Hurricane Tornado Ida. You know, our neighborhood was being inundated, and I'm trying to find her sump pump. So there I am running around her basement, which is laid out a little differently than mine.
Right.
But we found the sump pump lid under carpet. So there we were running
with pieces of wood that all had a puzzle. It was a puzzle.
It was this whole crazy setup. Harry loved to rig things. So
rig?
Oh my gosh. We have been working on projects together in her house and sometimes we're doing something and Jerry will all of a sudden yell, Harry, you know, because there's something he left behind and we're like, why did he do this?
Yeah. He did rig things big time. And it was comical though, because we figured it out. And but I ended up having to have the sump pump replaced because the battery had died and it was time. But you know, that's something he would have handled.
Right.
And you know, I don't have the Harry to do all that. And of course you know, that kind of stuff. I wish I had him every single day for his companionship, the love and all that, the house and all that stuff. Great. But when we talk about a roadmap, I mean, to the point of turning the water valve off.
Yeah. Just knowing where the water shutoffs are. And, you know, you said you had a problem with the refrigerator.
Right. I had to get a new refrigerator. I don't want to digress, but when you are a widow or you live by yourself and you're a woman, I mean, I had to have the refrigerator replaced, but I tried to get it fixed first. I think the guy came out 6 or 7 times to the point where the neighbors started to wonder, why is the handyman's truck in front of Doherty's again?
Oh, my gosh.
It was kind of comical. And then I got to, and he didn't charge me. He only charged me the first time. But then it was like, hey, because this repair guy, I think it was a challenge to him. He's like, I want to figure out what's going on with your.
But a lot of guys aren't so helpful. A lot of guys will see a widow.
No, but it got to the point where I was like, okay, you're done. I'm getting a new refrigerator.
I'm done having your visit. I'm done having the neighbors talk. I'm getting a new fridge.
So what happened then, so I order a new fridge through Costco. Actually, it was great. And then they come and they have to take the old one, but they said, we will take your old one, but you have to disconnect everything.
So including the water line.
Yeah, well, I thought I disconnected everything. And then the guy comes and he goes, wait, you still have the ice machine hooked up. So, you know, I'm going to take it off. He goes, wait, no, you can't do that. You got to turn the water line off or else you're going to flood. So I go downstairs, look everywhere. I can't find it. And they won't help you.
Right. They legally can't do the plumbing piece.
So I call Beth. She wasn't home.
Sorry, I wasn't home.
So then I run down 2 doors down to Gus's.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing of having the neighborhood and the community. You know?
I'm lucky. Yes. But if I didn't have that, the repair guy would have left the old fridge there.
And you've learned that having community is everything. So hold on for a minute. We're going to pause and hear from our nonprofit partner, which is all about community, and it is the Domestic Violence Program of Montgomery County, Laurel House. Since 1980, Laurel House has been a lifeline for domestic violence survivors in Montgomery County, offering a safe shelter, a 24/7 hotline, trauma counseling, relationship education for teens, court accompaniment, and medical advocacy. But there's more work to do. Together, we can end domestic violence and help families rebuild their lives, whether it's volunteering at their thrift shops, assisting with childcare, or becoming a text line responder. Your time can make a real impact. With training and support, you can become an advocate for survivors in our community. To learn more about volunteering, donating, or simply offering your support, visit laurelhouse.org or call 610-277-1860. Every action counts. Together, we can make a difference. So, Jerry, tell me, what is one of the things that you really wish you had Harry walk you through before he left that's been a big challenge in your house?
Right. And it's on my goal, my list of things this year to get accomplished. Part of it is done, but it's the electric panel. I want to know exactly all the...
The breakers,
what they go, they need to be labeled, and that's huge for any homeowner.
It is absolutely huge because you need to understand where these circuits operate because you can't isolate things when there's a problem. We had a problem. We were trying to do a project in the laundry room, and it was this game for us, and we wasted so much time, and then... If you don't have the skill set to know for sure if the power is off, you risk a shock. So it's something. Now, Harry's panel was, there were things that were mislabeled. There were names that were like, what is that room? Like, it was comical.
Right.
But that is something that, you know, every woman should be on top of, those basic systems in the house.
Well, and it would have been nice, too. In fact, I just had this conversation with my sister, Pat, and her husband, who's an electrical engineer, by the way. They just went through the panel again. They've lived in their house for a long time, but they just redid together. Yeah. So I wish Harry and I had done that before he died, because it's a team. It's a tag
team. Two-person.
You can't do it by yourself.
You need a buddy. You have to have the cell phones and kind of coordinate and get that done. So
it's
I will help you do that. We'll do that together.
I know. That's our 2025 goal.
Yes, that's on the to-do list. Jerry and I have done a bunch of projects together. We tackled her laundry room in the spring.
Amazing
job. It was such a great project. We had a great time. Another friend helped. But we have to tell people about our one adventure in homeownership. It started with her calling me on a Sunday night when I'm making dinner. It was like 7 o'clock. And she says, Beth, there's something in my walls. And I'm like, what? What the heck are you talking about? She goes, you got to come over. You got to come over. And what was in the wall?
Well, we ended up finding out it was a squirrel.
Not just one squirrel.
Yes.
It was a pair of squirrels.
A pair. But fortunately, they hadn't had babies yet.
You know,
because that's the biggest thing they tell us.
Right.
They tell you about.
The biggest fear. So here's Jerry. She's got these critters in the wall, and we had to navigate. You know, we tried a DIY method. We had to have a heart trap. So I went up into her attic, and I set the have a heart trap, and we didn't catch anybody. So we ended up calling a word of mouth.
Well, I got his name through a real estate friend.
Exactly. So a realtor, because realtors are great resources for these things. His name was Steve. We called him Steve the Squirrel Guy, and he was great. And he even just gave us advice on the phone. And that, if you can find a contractor who's willing to walk you through some stuff over the phone, that's golden. That is somebody who's not out to gouge you. He's willing to help you. So Steve gave us some tips, and we didn't have any luck catching the squirrel.
No, it was several weeks to couple months, wasn't it?
Right. But before we got Steve to come out, Jerry calls me again one night, and she says, he's coming through the ceiling.
He did.
And he did.
He didn't come through, but there was the drywall, and this is the wall where this squirrel and her
lover,
the boyfriend, the girlfriend, whatever, they would be in the wall, then they would go up and they'd run across the attic. They were having a ball up there. And so at one point, it got to the point where I was like, this is scary.
Yeah.
Because I saw the drywall on the bedside table next to the bed.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's when she called me again.
This is not good. This thing's coming in.
Yes. And you could literally see the little claw holes, like little nail holes in the drywall. And it was all soft and squishy, like right above her bed. So I ran home, got a piece of plywood. We're screwing plywood over that. And it's still there. We still have to fix that. But then Steve came out. He put a cage outside. And what we found, and this is why part of homeownership is getting outdoors and looking at your property, was we found that there was a little piece of soffit on the dormer on the top of the house that was sagging.
He was eating it. No, they ate through it.
And we watched him just jump right into her attic.
So it was a tree that was next to, oh my God, that was so funny. But there was a tree next to, because I have the front porch, the roof, and it would climb up the tree, then it would jump on the roof, then it came up the stone, and then it ate through the dormer's siding, soffit.
Yeah.
They'll eat anything.
Yeah. So, you know, adventures in homeownership and, you know, navigating them alone. It's not navigating them alone. And, you know, Jerry is lucky and we're blessed, you know, to be in a neighborhood that really looks out for each other in an incredible way. But what would be some advice you'd have for other women who might, if they find themselves alone, whether it's a divorce or being widowed, how to prepare themselves in that homeownership role now.
Wow. That's a big one. I mean, because I am lucky that I have you next door.
Yeah, not everybody has Beth next door.
Well, so if you can before, if you're alone all the time, then I would say take the classes to, if you're going to buy a home and you're on your own and you're not married, you're not going to plan to be married, and you're going to be a single homeowner, then make the investment in taking classes and just get to know your home.
Yeah. Get to know your home, because if the unexpected happens, it is the biggest investment of your life. And you have to know where things are and how to navigate and how to advocate for yourself.
Right. And even the bills, Harry paid the bills. Not that I don't know how to pay bills. But that was another thing I had to take on in addition to now being the home person.
Right. Right. You had to take on all of that. I ask all of my guests this question. We've spent a lot of time doing some projects together, and I've handed you a lot of tools that you may not have expected to use. If you could be a tool, what would it be and why?
So the tool I love, and I don't know if I'm going to buy one because I have Beth next door, but I love the saw.
Oh, the circular saw.
Well, the one, yeah, I can cut things, and I loved it because I could cut everything down and then throw it out in the trash. That's one of the things in terms of getting rid of things. Instead of hiring somebody to come out and take away, like, big items, I'm cutting them down and putting them in my trash.
She took to that power tool, I mean, so well. She was out there. She was cutting and chopping and tossing and, you know, and... You know, this was a woman who had never used a power tool until Harry passed and we started tackling projects together. So, you know, ladies, things happen in life and we have to start advocating for ourselves. And before we're in a situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so. The
seven P's, as Beth wants to say.
The seven P's.
If you can prepare for the rainy day, that's what you want to do. But you're never going to prepare for...
100%.
And you're never going to prepare for somebody to know in six weeks that they're not going to be living.
And on the theme of doing it yourself, like I always say, doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone. You need a buddy.
Oh, yeah. And Beth's the one to have it next to you. Thanks, Beth, for having me. It's been fun.
Discover spirituality for everyday living with Religion and Inspiration with Cantor Scott Borsky. Celebrant educator, chaplain, and speaker, Cantor Scott Borsky will open your eyes to the joy and meaning.